So we are spiritual soldiers, isn't that right? Called to be effective in the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so tonight I'm expecting to be sharpened a little bit. How about you? Yes. I'm expecting that you're going to be sharpened a little bit tonight. Come on. That we're going to see things a little more clearly tonight. Yes. All right? Because the truth is we are the army of the Lord, and we do have an enemy. We have an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy the life of every believer and really the life of everybody around. That old devil, the old evil one, we could say this, that he's the deceiver, he's the tempter, he's the tester, he's the accuser of the brethren, he's the father of all lies, he's been a murderer and a sinner since the beginning, and we just really don't like him. God doesn't like him, and we don't like him either. Praise the Lord. And so we're in these days, we've got to, in order to be effective, we've got to know a little bit about him. We've got to be able to identify him. Come on, we've got to be able to know his schemes, his tactics, the strategies and things that he does so that we can know them and overcome them. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus has given us a way out. Glory to God. Jesus has given us a way up. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says that we are to stand against the wiles of the evil one. Hallelujah. Actually, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 11 says that we don't want to give him an advantage over us by being ignorant of his devices. And so we've been looking into primarily 8 different weapons, or we could say devices or tactics. I call them the devil's dirty D's. They all start with a D. And so last week we talked about 4 of these weapons of the enemy, these ugly things. First was deception. Second was distractions. Third was disobedience. And 4 was delays. How the devil will use these things to try to get us messed up, off course. In whatever way, shape, he can bring it, do it. It's all about getting us as outside the will of God, outside the plan of God. And so he tries to trick us and make us think that these things are okay, that we can take these things lightly, that there's always an excuse. You know, it just seems like when it's personal, there seems to be more of an excuse of why it's okay for me to do this, why it's okay for me to, you know, be distracted a little bit. No one knows about my life. No one knows how busy I am. No one knows the season that I'm in. But the Bible says that really there's no season under heaven that already hasn't been here, and that Jesus hasn't already gone through and already overcome and actually gives us a way of escape, the Bible says. There is always a way of escape for us. And so tonight we're going to continue on with the next 4 of these devices that the enemy comes with. And we're going to start with number 5 tonight, called disappointment. Now listen, these are strategies of the devil, and you need to understand that. This is not just about a bad feeling. This is really things that the devil works in order to destroy our lives, okay? Many of these things are connected. Many of these things go hand in hand. But all of these, if we take them on, if we live within them, if we don't learn to recognize them and recognize how serious they are so that we can work ourselves toward what the Bible says about overcoming them, then we can end up being deceived. We can end up in just a mess with our life with God. So number 5 is disappointment. Let me define that for you. It's a sadness or a displeasure that's caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. That's a pretty broad definition. And I would say that all of us here in the room, no matter how old we are or no matter how young we are, could say that we've had opportunity to be disappointed. We've had many things. We can be disappointed in other people. We can be disappointed in situations that things didn't turn out like we thought. Even things that we prayed about, even things that we thought we were connected to God in, doesn't come out like we thought. And it comes at us to make us disappointed, to make us lose our hope, what our hope in God, our hope that things can get better, our hope that things are going to change. This is a very serious thing, disappointment. The word disappointment actually means to disappoint. And so the truth is we are appointed of God. We are appointed of God with a hope, with an expectation, with plans, purposes, desires that are of the Lord. And so when a disappointment comes, it's to take you out of your appointment with God, out of your place in God. And so this is a very serious thing that we have to recognize and learn how to deal with. And I just want to give a scripture up front so that we can recognize many of these things try to come based in a feeling. They come based in a thought, because remember, we're spirit, soul, and body. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. Okay? And so we don't live according to our soul. We don't live according to our feelings. We don't live according to that. We live according to our spirit. Yes. We're supposed to live according to faith, what we believe to be true. Amen. And so we have to recognize when a disappointment comes, it's not saying that that's not real. It's not saying that you know, the feeling of that isn't real, but we can't buy into that. We have to recognize it for what it is. And this is what the Bible says. Listen to this. Romans 5:5, it says, now hope does not disappoint. Now hope does not disappoint. Can we just agree on that? That hope does not disappoint. God does not disappoint. God is not in the disappointing business. And so anytime a disappointment comes, it either comes from our own flesh or it comes from the enemy. And we have to know that it's outside of God. And God wants to help us deal with it so we don't fall into the trap and get disappointed and outside of God. So it says now, hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That tells me right there that when disappointment comes, I'm looking for the love of God. I'm looking to operate in the love of God, knowing the love of God, that God is for me, that God is with me, that God is never going to fail me, that God is always going to come through for me in some way, in some shape, in some measure. And so the enemy is wanting us to react to these disappointing thoughts, these disappointing feelings, these disappointing situations that has caused that. He tries to maximize them. And you know, that we do have to remember, the Bible says that the devil, he's pretty sharp. So when he sees that by doing something or bringing something at you, it causes you to get disappointment, he'll begin to work in that and work in that, and then he'll bring every thought. He'll try to stack things on top of things and make it look really just a whole lot bigger than it probably really is. Good work. Right? Good work. So we have to understand that when disappointment comes, we can't give the devil the satisfaction of going there. And this is where, way back on that Sunday when I talked about being strong and being, this is a strong man's gospel, this is where we have to lift our head up and say, you know what, I'm going to do the Bible. Yeah. All right? It might not be pleasant to my soul. It might not be an easy thing, but I know that there is a will in God. There is a way in God. There's the Holy Spirit in me, the Word of God working through me that can help me overcome this. And so when disappointment comes, we've got to run to the Word of God. I want to give you some scriptures. It's Wow Wednesday tonight. It's Wednesday in the Word. So we're going to do some scripture reading here. Number one, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 119, verse 116. I want you to know that even in the midst of what seems like disappointment, God can turn that into hope. God can restore your hope. Psalm 119 verse 16 says, uphold me according to your word that I may live. Uphold me according to my feelings. Uphold me according to the situations and the things that are going on. No, uphold me according to your word that I may live. Life is in the word. When we hear the word, we live. When we do the word, we live. When we listen to our feelings, we don't. When we look at outward circumstances and things and start analyzing our life in relation to that, we're not living. It says, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. In other words, if we can anchor ourselves in God and in the truth of God's word, we can find ourselves overcoming anything that doesn't look like our expectation, or it doesn't look like the outcome that we want. We also have to know this, that disappointments won't last, but his blessings will. Amen. Come on. All these things are temporary. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. What? We do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. In other words, you can find in your inner man with the Lord every day whatever you have to be renewed. If your hope needs to be renewed, it's on the inside of you. It's not out around you, it's inside you. Even though our inward man is being renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. It's temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. God's word is eternal. God's word never changes. I want to read it out of the Living Bible. I love this. Listen to this. It says, this is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our inner strength in the Lord is growing every day. These troubles and sufferings of ours are, after all, quite small and won't last very long. Yet this short time of distress will result in God's richest blessing upon us forever and ever. Amen. So we don't look at what we can see right now, the troubles that are all around us, but we look forward to the joys in heaven, which are not yet seen. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, this is how we get ourselves out of disappointment. We recognize that every disappointment, even the things that come, God can turn them around. Isn't that what it says in Romans 8:28, that he can work all things according to his good? Come on, whatever it is, God can get a hold of it. He can take care of it. Dealing with disappointment is a matter of mental preparation. All of us need to know disappointment will come. Why? Because we can't control everything. Because we are living in a fallen earth. You can't make everybody do everything. You can't even make yourself do everything right all the time, even though we want to. But you certainly can't make everything around you be perfect while we're in this fallen earth. Disappointments are going to come, so we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared mentally. Listen to this, 1 Peter chapter 1, 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The NIV says it this way, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Let your hope fully fall on the grace to be given when Jesus Christ is revealed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're soldiers, remember? Prepared. We have a helmet we have to put on. We have to be prepared in this battle, recognizing that disappointments, that strategy of the devil, that device, he's going to bring it. But we're well prepared. We have to forget the past.
Good word.
Every day we get up, it's a new day. Yesterday is behind me. It's a new day. I've got new things in front of me. God's prepared to do a good thing. God's prepared to do a new thing that's out in front of me. And so listen, when it just comes to disappointments, we're just going to have to say, I'm not going to buy into it. I'm not going to fall for it. I don't care how bad the situation is. This is where we have to get really spiritual, because we're living in this earth and it just seems like all the earth stuff is so big. It really does. But they are light afflictions, according to the word.
Amen.
And the truth is that we get to recognize that we're saved. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm destined for heaven. In the end, I win. No matter what happens here, I've already won. I'm already a more than a conqueror. Right? That's how we have to approach disappointments. All right, let's move on to the next one. Number six here of the devil's dirty deeds is discouragement. Okay? Discouragement is defined as a loss of confidence or enthusiasm. It's a dispiritedness. I like that word, dispiritedness, because the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 11, when it was foretelling of Jesus coming, it was telling us of the seven spirits of God that would be upon Jesus. Do y'all remember that? The spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, all these different spirits that would be upon Jesus. And one of them was the spirit of might. And when you study out that word biblically, it means courage, fortitude, boldness, vigor. It means energy, strength, and power to fully execute without discouragement or fail. That is the spirit, one of the spirits that was upon Jesus, and it was upon Jesus so that Jesus could run the race that was before him, so he would not fail in what was before him, that he could finish the course. Listen, you have a race with God. You have been set in this earth with a purpose, with things that God has already foreplanned way long ago. And God has you here with the intent of you finishing your race, running your course fully, keeping the faith until at the very end you can say, I have finished my course, I have done it, and I'm ready to go. And the only way we do that is by being full of courage, being full of boldness, taking on an attitude that I cannot fail. What if something didn't happen right yesterday or the month before? It doesn't matter. That's behind me. I have the Spirit of God upon me, and I will not fail. That's the attitude that we have to carry as people of God. Listen, it's dispiritedness. It's a temporary feeling that occurs when someone is not doing what they promised or what they expected, or things are not going, and we get kind of down. We begin to droop. We begin to get weary. That's a ploy of the devil to try to discourage you. I don't get discouraged very easily. I just don't. Not that I don't ever deal with discouragement, but I recognize when my husband and I got married that he didn't really deal with it much either, but we just decided that we would never be discouraged on the same day. When it came to starting the church, which was a big undertaking, which many times didn't look anything like what God had put in my heart, which many times it seemed like it was forever, like plowing a field, and we just weren't getting anywhere. We just decided early on that we would never, ever be discouraged on the same day. Why? Because discouragement will take you out of your race. Discouragement will cause you to go sit down on the sideline and not run anymore. I remember one time when we were dealing with something, with getting into the new property here, and I was just having a day in my office. Just, I don't know, the thought came, something. And I found myself being a little discouraged about us not being able to buy the property that God had told was ours. And so I recognized it. That's first, I recognized it. And so I didn't sit in my office and just like, I recognized it. I thought, well, I'm going to go get up. I'm going to go tell Pastor Chaz, and so that he'll encourage me. And so I got up and I walked in his office, and when I turned and looked at him, he had this look on his face like he was discouraged. And I was like, what's wrong? I thought, we will not be discouraged on the same. Courage overtook me right then. I picked my head up. What's wrong? And he was discouraged about the land. I said, no, we can do it. God says it's ours. We're going to have. I mean, I just instantly turned it around. And it really is that simple. But we have to do the principles. We have to remember, first of all, our thoughts, how important they are, that we just can't let things linger that don't need to linger. We need to take those things captive to the obedience of Christ, get the right thinking in order. We have to use our mouth. If we're feeling discouraged, you have to stand up and start saying, I'm not discouraged. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged in the Lord. I'm strong in the Lord. Whatever it is, you have to use your mouth, because life and death are in your mouth. Amen? So we can't get discouraged. There are many scriptures that tell us to have courage, be of good courage, be encouraged. When the word cheer is used, be of good cheer, it actually means to be encouraged. When you see in the King James, be of good comfort, that also means to be encouraged. When you see in the scripture, it says, take heart, that means to be encouraged. And so I just want to read a few scriptures to you, just a few out of the New Testament tonight, so that you can make sure you understand. All you need to do is get your word out and say, I'm going to encourage myself right now. Because God would never tell us to do something in the word that he doesn't give us the ability to do. And remember, life is in the word. Hope is in the word. Encouragement is in the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave and be strong. How about that? Is there anywhere it says in there, as long as all your circumstances are going well, as long as you feel really good today? It doesn't say that. Jesus, of course, when he was walking on water near the boat in Matthew chapter 14, verse 27, immediately said to them, be of good cheer. Do not be afraid. It is I. Why don't we just remember that when we wake up every day? Be of good cheer. Jesus is with us. Jesus is walking right beside us. Mark chapter 10, verse 49, blind Bartimaeus here. Jesus stood still and commanded him. Now listen, this is a blind guy. You understand what I'm saying? He had a situation. He had a situation. And he had a situation for a very, very, very long time. This wasn't like he went blind yesterday. It's like he'd been dealing with something for quite a while. But when Jesus spoke to him, Jesus says, be of good cheer. Rise. He is calling you. Just let Christ call you up every morning. Come on, when you're feeling a little down and out, just remind yourself, I can be of good cheer. Christ is calling me this morning. Christ is with me this morning. Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, talking about the when they brought the paralytic lying in the bed to Jesus. He said, son, be of good cheer. He's lying in a bed. He's sick. He's paralyzed. He can't get up. Come on, shouldn't Jesus walk over and say, hey, it's okay. I understand where you're at. I'd be really down and out too. I know, you know, he didn't do that. Come on, in the darkest of times, in the most what seems like hopeless situation, we have to take courage. We have to be encouraged in the Lord. Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus turned around and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. Acts chapter 27, verse 22, talking about when Paul here was telling the guys that he was on the ship with. He said, now I encourage you to take heart. Here they were in the midst of a storm was going on. They were scared for their life, but he said, take heart, be encouraged, be of good cheer. Don't be looking at the outward thing. Let's look our eyes up toward the Lord. Joshua chapter 1, which is a scripture that we read all the time. Be only strong and very courageous. That's the word of the Lord. Be only strong and very courageous. No matter what, no matter the situation, that you may observe to do all of the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you, or do all of the word today. And then it goes on in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is with you in every season of life, in everything that's coming, in every situation, past, present, and future. He is already with us. We will get through it. If we don't get dispirited, if we don't lose heart, if we don't faint, if we don't say, I can't do it anymore and decide to sit down on the sideline, if we just keep our feet going in front of us step by step, expecting with every step that the Lord is there, the Lord will meet us, the Lord will encourage us, the Lord will see us through.
Amen.
To overcome discouragement first, we're going to have to get our attitude right. Many of these things are things of the mind, and it's all about an attitude. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Jesus had the spirit of might upon him. which caused him to be courageous and run his race without considering that he might fail. We have to have the same attitude that Christ had. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, out of the Amplified says, "And be consistently renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude." That is quite challenging. Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. You can't do that if you're thinking on wrong things. You can't do that if you're thinking all the time about the bad things or what didn't go your way. It's about a mental adjustment. We have to have God's attitude. When we have the attitude of the Lord, when we're renewing our mind with the Word of God, we're more likely to activate the Word of God. That means to act upon the Word, to do the Word, and come out of a situation. When we have discouragement knocking at our door, we need to stop entertaining it. You need to instantly recognize this as a ploy of the devil. If you were in your house and you were walking around and all of a sudden you looked down and you saw like a bug, like a big ugly bug, like something that didn't belong on you, what would you do? You wouldn't go, I think I'll just let it stay there for a little while. I know it's really not. I know it could bite me. I know it could crawl up and touch my face here at any time. You wouldn't do that. When you recognize something that doesn't belong, I mean, you're instantly like, get off. I mean, wow, you know, go. Right? And then once it's on the floor, you're you're not just letting it crawl up. You're stomping down on it so that you don't make sure when you go to lay down at night, you know, it crawls up in your bed. This is how we have to treat discouragement. We can't pet it on the back, entertain it, act like it's okay. It's all right for me to be a little discouraged today. If you let yourself be a little discouraged today, you'll be a little more discouraged tomorrow. Stop entertaining it and let it go. It's a choice. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what you're going to be thinking about is what you're going to find yourself living in. You need to realize no matter what it is, it's done, it's over. I'm going to change my attitude. I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to think on it anymore. Oh, you know what I am going to do? I'm going to think on good thoughts. Yes. To overcome discouragement, you're going to have to think on good things. Because the root of discouragement is to make you think on the bad things, the negative things. You're going to have to think on the good things. This is living a spiritual life. You might be sitting there thinking, I can't do that. Yes, you can. We can do all things through Christ. We can do all things through the anointing. We can do all things through the Spirit of God who strengthened us. We can. Again, it's a mental attitude. Stop seeing yourself as a victim. See yourself as a victor. Think upon the good thoughts. Philippians 4, 8, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. When you're having those moments, you need to catch them. And you need to say, I can't be thinking like this. Your thinking will take you into feelings. And your feelings get very, very powerful. Okay? So you have to pull your mind back. I remember years ago, this was before Pastor Chaz, I had been believing God for something, and it didn't turn out like I wanted it to. You know, there's been many things like that in my life. Let's just be honest. Preacher, not preacher, many things in my life that I've prayed about, believe it didn't turn out. It didn't turn out like I wanted it. But you see me standing here today, right? I didn't let myself go crawl in the hole, even though I might have felt like it, duck my head and get down low. No. I had to do the Bible, just like you're going to have to do the Bible. Really, it's up to you if you want to live miserable, if you want to live powerless, pitiful. It's all up to you. And unfortunately, God will let you. Because He has to. We have to make a choice. But in this situation, this thing was not, it did not turn out like I wanted. And I had gotten very, very, very bad news. And so the bad news was, I felt like it was coming at me like, you know, like the Bible says, those fiery darts. It was like, doom, doom, doom. It was like constant, constant. And so I took this scripture. I recognized that this is it. This is the battle. This is the battle. I've got to win over these thoughts. I'm not going to let these thoughts in. I knew they were coming, but I'm not going to let them in. I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to think about it. I took that scripture and I wrote it everywhere. I wrote it at work. I wrote it in my car. I wrote it on my refrigerator. I wrote it in my mirror as I was getting dressed. And every time those thoughts, this or that, no, 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 no. Let's see, what is this a have virtue in it? Is this praise? No, no, no. I do know who is that Jesus. All I could think of in the moment was Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I really, to be honest, couldn't muster up anything else in those couple of months except just knowing the one thing that fit that category was Jesus.
Amen.
And so every time the thoughts and the this and the that and what's going to happen, and I would say, no, Jesus. And I would just begin to think on Jesus. Jesus, the lover of my soul. Jesus, how I would make myself until those thoughts would feel like they were at a distance for a while. We have to think on the right thing. We have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. This is why it's important for you to write down your testimonies. This is important, why it's important for you to write down your victories. Because when you need to be encouraged, it's not the time that you're trying to remember. No, what? Let me think of something. Let me think of something God did for me. Because in the moment, it's like you feel like God just has done nothing for you. Come on, let's be honest. You feel like so far away from that, everything has failed. And at least for women, come on, you know, because our brains are all connected. So when one thing fails, it's like the whole string is out. Everything is just like, everything now is like a disaster, right? That's not the time to have to try to remember something. You need to be able to run to your testimonies and to your victories, where God has showed up for you, where God has come through for you, where the word has worked for you. And you need to read them and read them out loud and encourage yourself and remind you that if God did it once, God can do it again. Come on, get your mind upon all the victories that we have in Christ, the testimonies, even the testimonies of other people. We need to focus on the future. If you're going to stay out of discouragement, you're going to have to think forward, not backward. Or not even parallel. You got to think forward. I'm going to read this scripture. I love this scripture. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. We all know it, but I want to read it out of the Message Bible. It says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. We're in the same race as Jesus. Don't forget that. It says, study how he did it. See, we think of Jesus and we think it's just everything was easy for Jesus. That Jesus had no temptations, that Jesus had no trials, that everything went perfectly for Jesus. We forgot that Jesus said that we're to partake of the sufferings of his sufferings. We forgot that the Bible says that he was tempted as in all points. Study how he did it. Listen, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. Come on, just about the time you start to get discouraged, don't forget what's in front of you. Don't forget the destiny that God has for you. Don't forget the importance of you doing it and finishing it and completing it, not only for yourself, but for other people. He never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. To stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I did it. Wasn't perfect, but I did it. Why? Because see, the truth is things like discouragement, disappointments, deception, they can take you out of the race. And most of us think that that's not true. But yeah, I find it happen to people all the time. Good Christians, people that love God, The exhilarating finish in and with God. He put up with anything along the way. The cross, the shame, and whatever else. I'm going to read it again. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He put up with everything along the way. The cross, the shame, and whatever else. We may have to endure some stuff, but it's important that we endure it, that we get past it, that we keep running. Next, you need to be hanging out with some winners. You need to be hanging out with some overcomers and conquerors. Listen, isolation is the first sign that you are being deceived, that you are falling into the devil's trap, is isolation. When you think you need to be by yourself, do it by yourself. Oh, I don't want to be around people today. That's when you got to muster up something to send a text. If nothing else, just help. You need a code word with your friend. Just when you see if you ever see the word help, that means track me down, come find me, get me out of bed. Come on, drag me out of my dark house, whatever it is. We all need those four crazy faith friends. Come on. These things they're all contrary to how we feel. But this is why you need to be in church. You need to come in church, and you know what? You need to sit by the loudest, the most radical, the most... That's the person you need to sit by, not over there in the corner by yourself and just hoping that nobody comes and says hi to you today. Prayers, we need to leash the wild ones. Search out those who look like they're hidden in the back corner over there, got their eyes down. I'm going to come sit right beside you. We cannot be discouraged. So let me give you a little tip on discouragement and disappointment. They go hand in hand. And one thing that I have learned about the both of them is one thing that works for me is to learn to shake them off. Now, you remember last week I told you that I'm kind of like, you know, I like to do things like sometimes doing the outward thing helps me. And I told y'all, you know, I'll like stand on the word and put my face like a flint to the wall and pray. I'm not moving here until I hear. I do all kinds of things like that because it helps me. Well, this is another one of those things. But what happened here is in Luke chapter 10, Jesus was giving instruction to his disciples, okay, telling them to go to preach the gospel, and then when they would go into a city to speak peace to the city, and for those that would receive them to go ahead and heal the sick, you know, bless them. But then he said, for those that won't receive you, he said, shake off the dust that clings to you. And so in Acts chapter 13, the disciples found them in a situation like that. They found themselves doing the will of the Lord, doing what they knew to do, and they were rejected. And it says this, Acts chapter 13, verse 51, but they shook off the dust from their feet against them. It says, and then the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. So first of all, if you've got disappointments and discouragements that you're letting hang out with you and be in you, you are not going to find it easy to connect with your helper. The Holy Spirit, the oil of joy, the comforter. But when they shook it off, they were filled with joy. And you know what accompanies joy? Peace and joy are always connected. So we're going to have to learn in life to shake off disappointments and to shake off discouragements until we sense that the peace has come. Until we sense that the joy has come. I mean, we're going to have to get really active about this. Learn to shake it off. Don't let it get on you. You know, I was thinking the Bible says, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What that means is that every day all around us, there is death, there is darkness, there is evil, there is sin, there is dirt, there is stuff, and it's coming at you. It's coming at you in so many ways, trying to get on you and cling to you. I think that shaking it off might need to become part of our spiritual discipline, like quite regularly. Since we're out and about every day dealing with stuff, thoughts, people, craziness, Just like we get up every morning and we know we have armor to put on. I'm not leaving my house till my armor is on. Maybe when we get home at night, we ought to make sure that nothing is clinging to us. Come on, that nothing negative, no bad thoughts, no offenses, no bitterness. Come on, nothing that's going to discourage me or disappoint. Don't let it get in there. The longer you let it get there, it's like you get a something that gets on your clothing that doesn't belong. I mean, the quicker you get it off. I mean, if you're right there by water, you're like, you don't let it get there and soak and get all down. And then you're like, right? Shake it off. Sometimes you might need to have a shaking off party, you know, just get in your back room and just start shaking off, you know, and let the Spirit of the Lord bring out. I'm going to shake off that, whatever it was they said, whatever happened there. Didn't I'm going to shake it off. I'm just shaking it off. I'm just shaking it off. So the joy of the Lord comes. I'm shaking it off. Nothing's clinging to me. Nothing gets to cling to me. No dirt, no dust. This is what an effective soldier does. I bet they do a little cleaning of their uniforms when they get right, when they get in at night, don't you think? They don't probably just go instantly lay down in bed. No. They assess what's happened. What needs to get clean here? I need to clean and dust my boots off. Need to shake things up, move things around, get it out of the way. Amen. Don't let negative things cling to you. There is a scripture that tells you just to shake it off. And sometimes you might just be walking through the house like this and your spouse is like, what's wrong with you? No, it's not. Well, it was the devil trying to get on me, but I'm just shaking it off, just having no part of it. The truth is we laugh about that. But we need to find a way to act on the Word of God. Are y'all ready to move on? Number 7. This dirty D here is called depression. Like I said, many of these things are connected. If you let disappointment and discouragement hang around, a lot of times you'll end up finding yourself in depression. Because you'll lose all hope. You'll get dispirited. You'll find yourself outside of the plan of God, the appointment of God, and you're not looking to where what's going on. Depression is feelings of severe despondency and dejection. This is one of the enemy's favorite tactics, is to use depression against people of God, people that love God. It, you know, to me, it's just a device like anything else. There's no shame in recognizing when you're dealing with depression, but you do need to recognize where it comes from. And I do want to say this, you know, the world has a lot to say about depression. And I'm glad for the sake of the world that they can talk about depression and do whatever that they think they need to do about depression. But we are not of the world.
Amen.
And so the truth is, if we're really going to get victory over depression, we're going to have to do it God's way. We're not going to put a Band-Aid on it. We're not going to, you know, we can use medicine until we get the victory spiritually. But we can't just stay in the medical arena with depression, because it's just medicating. It's just medicating the devil is what it is. So we have to learn that we're going to recognize it and we got to deal with it. And we got to know that depression is not greater than the name of Jesus. Depression is not greater than the Holy Spirit. Either we believe that there's power in the name or we don't. So what does the Bible have to say about depression? Isaiah 61:3, we're told to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We're told to put on the garment of praise. That insinuates that the garment is not on you. Because when depression comes, you don't feel like praising God. It's the last thing that you feel like doing. So again, this is where you have to be spiritual. If you need help, dial help to a spiritual friend. But don't get mad. Don't get mad at them when they tell you to get up and praise the Lord. Let me hear you right now. No. Let me hear you say it out of your mouth right now. I want to hear, praise God. Let me hear. Don't you get mad and hang up. If you want them to help you get out of depression, you have to let God help you. And you have to let God help you through the Word of God, by doing the Word of God, believing the Word of God, and acting on the Word of God. So Isaiah 61:3, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it does say in verse 3 that that Jesus came so that we could have the oil of joy for mourning, and that we could have the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So there is an exchange that needs to take place. When you find yourself in mourning, you need to remember that joy cometh. Come on. And I have the oil of joy. I might mourn for just a moment, then this is it. I'm tapping in to the joy of the Lord, and I'm gonna move on with life. Here's what I wrote is an antidote to fight depression. Now, I just want to say this, because I think sometimes, you know, people are like, well, first of all, they think that preachers are immune to stuff. But they don't know, you know, we go through stuff like everybody else. So my family history on one side is depression. I mean, depression and sickness for years and years, and family members. I'm talking about severe depression. I'm talking about not come out of your house depression. I'm talking about really, really bad, you know, depression. And so I kind of take after the other side of the family more, I have to say, honestly. But I recognize in my early adult years that as I was walking through a difficult time, that I found myself wanting to get sad a lot. And I wasn't spirit-filled yet at the time. And so I wasn't real sure how that was real. I was a Christian, but I wasn't really sure how to deal with it. And so, you know, I would be sad sometimes and cry a lot, and then I would just try to muster up and think, okay, but you know, I have to live life and I'm gonna get up tomorrow and I'm gonna. But then I got spirit-filled and I found out that there's an anointing, that there's a power of the Holy Ghost. And the first time that depression tried to come upon me, I rebuked it in the name of Jesus, and I just refused to let it come. I just resisted it with all I had, and it left. And so what that did is it taught me about the feeling of it. And so for about the next 6 months, there would just be times all of a sudden where for me, it would feel like a blanket wanted to come over me. And I could feel it, like when the blanket would get right here, I could feel it. Come on, this is being an effective soldier. This is recognizing the strategy of the enemy, detecting that the enemy, that the tactic, the device, the thing is right there. And I would rebuke it in Jesus and it wouldn't come. And after about 6 months, it never came back. Amen. And I recognized later, you know, as I began walking with God and understanding some things of God, that the devil was trying to slip me into that pattern of my family history. But we can get free. Yes. And we can stay free. Amen. So here's what I wrote is the antidote to fight depression. Number one, praise God and tap into the joy that is within us through the Holy Spirit. You have to do something. You can't just let it come. You can't just let it stay. The minute you recognize it's there, do something. Get up, stand up, start smiling, start praising God. Be loud about it. You have to be louder than that feeling is to you. Number two, believe in the anointing, that it is burden removing and yoke destroying. Come on, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is there to break every chain. So we recognize when we're praising God, all of a sudden we're there with the Spirit of God, and I'm going to speak to it. I'm going to speak to it in the power of God. I'm going to speak to it with the anointing, and it's going to break it. It's going to cause it to fall. You have to believe that. And then we use our weapons. You use the name of Jesus. So once you've established, you know what? Hey, there's an anointing here. There's an anointing within me. There is an anointing within me. Jesus said that that anointing would break any yoke, anything that's trying to hinder me, anything that's trying to hold me down, anything that's trying to oppress me, anything that's trying to mess me. Once you've established that, then you turn around and you use the name of Jesus. You use the blood of Jesus. You use the word of God. Come on, you use something of your weaponry. One of the reasons I think that the devil goes after depression so hard is because he hates joy.
Good word.
Because the Holy Spirit is the oil of joy. It's like the direct conflict with the Holy Spirit. And also, the joy of the Lord is your
strength.
The joy of the Lord is your
strength.
Joy is not just so that we can laugh and just ha 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 ha. I mean, it's spiritual. It's a substance. Things are happening when we're operating in the joy of the Lord. We're getting bigger on the inside, stronger, sharper. When feelings of depression comes, remind yourself that God does know what you're going through. Not so that he can pat you on the back and say, stay there, but so that you recognize that God is with you in the midst of it. He's not left you. That he loves for you, that he cares about you. We're to cast all our care, everything that's making you depressed, every feeling, every thought. We're to cast our care upon him because he cares for us. As we cast our cares upon him, he removes the burdens, and it says that he won't allow us to be moved. We can't be moved off of our God life, off of our race. We need to turn to him when times are tough. Instead of just sinking down and sinking into it, turn to God, run to God. Get up and say, oh my gosh, the Bible says if I draw near to him, he'll draw near to me. And you know what? If I'm in the presence of the Lord, surely depression can't be here. Father, I draw near. I draw near to you. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears, all my oppressions, all my sin. He delivered me because I sought him. Yeah. Tap into the comfort of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, he is our comforter, that he comforts us like no one else can. And again, the comfort does not come alongside and pat us on the back and leave us where we're at. Comfort means he gets in the ditch with us, stands alongside us, comes along, takes hold with us, and says, this doesn't belong here. This is where we're going. But we have to let God comfort us. If you're having a pity party and you want to allow yourself to get out of the pity party, if your pity party is bigger than you letting God comfort you, you're prideful. Because that means that you can't humble yourself to the Lord. It means that you can't humble yourself to God. It's a very bad place to be. When you're depressed, change your viewpoint. Look up. Depression wants to make you look down. Look up. Look up. Set your eyes on things above. Come on, set your mind on things above. Come on, begin to think about heaven. Begin to see what imagine what heaven would be like. Number 8. Are y'all ready? Doubt. A tactic of the devil is to make you doubt. A feeling, listen to this, of uncertainty or a lack of conviction. The Bible also calls doubt unbelief. But I find that people sometimes Christian people, faith people, see doubt as like an obstinate, I won't. But it's described as uncertainty. Just having the slightest uncertainty that what? That the word works, that the word will work for you, that God really will hear your prayers. And when we let just a little bit of doubt, when we let just a little bit of uncertainty, when we let just a little bit of that creep in, then we find that really that will begin to taint everything. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, that God has to, He sees what's in our heart. He knows what's in our heart. We can be acting like it's not there, but if we've got doubt in us, if we've got disappointment in us, if we've got discouragement in us, if we've got depression in us, God sees what's in our heart. And if we've got doubt, then He can't answer us. He can't work with us. He only operates according to faith. He only operates according to belief.
Yes. Amen.
Believe God, trust God, have faith. That's how we please God. So if we find ourselves in the doubting category, the slightest uncertainty, we've got to recognize that's a plot of the enemy. Amen. And if we leave ourselves there, that doubt will get bigger and bigger. And before you know it, it just taints everything. And then the one little thing that you had a doubt about, the one time that you prayed and it didn't go like you wanted it to go, that cannot move us off the truth of God's word or the integrity of God's word. Instead, what we do is we humble ourselves. We say, God, I know you're God. I'm not going to doubt you. I'm not going to doubt your word. I would never call you a liar. I must have missed something. I know you're going to help me, Lord, but I'm just going to believe bigger. I'm going to believe better. I'm going to believe more. What doubt does is it causes you to step back. It weakens you. This is how the devil destroys you. It weakens you. You prayed, it didn't work. So now I don't want to believe God again. What if I pray again or believe God about something again and it doesn't work again? So now I just won't believe God. Doubt. A heart of unbelief. God actually calls that evil in the book of Hebrews. In the sight of God, this is like a big deal.
Yes.
We have to recognize when things are coming at us. What do we have to do? We have to run to God. We have to run to the Word. We have to fall on the Word. We have to recognize that this thing that didn't work out like we wanted it or what, it's not that what God has been saying all along isn't true. That's calling God a liar. That is calling God a liar. If you're telling God that what you've been saying all along isn't true, you're calling God a liar. The devil is the father of lies. It's his job to make you doubt God and think that God didn't do this or God won't do that or God is not what God says he is or who he is or won't do what he says he'll do. That's the devil's job to make you believe that. He is the father of lies. He's the one that's trying to steal you, steal your faith. The devil wants us to doubt everything about God. He wants us to doubt, you know, he wants us to doubt salvation. He wants us to doubt, is heaven real? You know, he wants to doubt, is the devil real? He wants us to doubt things in the Word. He wants us to doubt, you know, things about ourselves, who we are in Christ, the position that we have, what God really says. He's just after everything. And so he's looking. Remember, he's walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And when the devil finds a strategy in your life, then he puts his finger on it, or he puts his thumb on it, and then he puts his hand in it, and he just stays there, and it's constantly like this. Now, I've had people tell me over years, you know, I struggle with this. It usually has to do with something. They're not in faith in a particular area because maybe their family history was this, or they haven't seen success yet. And they're like, I just wish that the devil would leave me alone. And I'd say, he's not gonna. When the devil finds an area that you're either not recognizing him in or you're not willing to do something about, He'll just put his hand and met, and it just gets bigger and more comfortable and messy, and it just begins to cause greater problems, greater destruction in your life. When we recognize the hand of the enemy, the finger, when we recognize it coming, we're like, the soldier comes alive. The soldier stands up. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves living in all of these things. I started out with deception and I ended with doubt. Really, I believe that everything in the middle is encompassed in those. To win over doubt, you're going to have to firmly plant yourself in the Word of God. And I mean firmly plant, not just read the Word and say you love the Word, but you're going to have to believe the Word. You're going to have to get like a child. You know, a child doesn't have so much history and all these things that they're trying to sort out. And, you know, the Bible says forget those things. We're going to have just simple childlike faith. If God said it, I'm going to believe it. But what about? No, if God said it, I'm going to believe it. Yeah, but this didn't happen. Yeah, but God said it, I'm going to believe it. We're going to have to guard our heart. If you're going to want to stay out of doubt, you're going to have to guard your heart. It's your job to guard your heart. It's not God's job. It's your job to guard your heart and keep your heart. What does that mean? Make sure the right thing's coming in and you're keeping the wrong things out. You don't have to watch your words as they have power. Amen. Lord, put a door over my lips. If you can't say the right thing, don't say anything until you can say the right thing. Amen. But you have to get to saying the right thing, because if you can't say the right thing yet, it means that your thoughts haven't been redirected yet. You haven't come into thinking like Christ yet. And then the minute you got it, you're like, you say the right thing. We got to watch our words. Our words are creating our life. The devil really doesn't know your thoughts. He can give you thoughts, but the devil does not know your thoughts. The only way the devil knows your thoughts is you say it, or you act upon it, or you let feelings reflect it. Praise the Lord. Well, listen, God, He wants to help us overcome these eight things. He doesn't want us to fall prey to these traps, these devices. And so, first of all, we need to keep God involved by asking God for help. You know, part of humbling ourselves before the Lord sometimes is asking the Lord to identify, Lord, is there something I need to see? Lord, help me to discern right from wrong, good from bad. Help me know where the enemy might trying to, rather than just skimming over things, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord for ways to detect things. I remember years ago, I was dealing with somebody that they had a sickness, and I was dealing with them. And I remember when they walked away, I felt like with the Lord, I had missed something. I mean, I just felt like maybe I had missed something. You know, and the thought came to me now, you know, if there was a devil there, I would have to address the devil. And that's different from addressing somebody sometimes that just has a sickness. I just felt like I was missing something. And I got really frustrated with myself. I need to be sharper than this, Lord. I need some help here. And so I asked the Lord, you know, I remembered a story about Brother Hagin that the Lord had told him when there was an evil spirit present that he would cause fire to jump from his hand to his hand, and that's how he'd know. Well, you know, I want to be effective. I want to be sharp. He must have given that to Brother Hagin so that Brother Hagin could be effective in dealing with when people had a devil, knowing that. Well, I wanted to do that. And so I just told him, I said, no, Lord, you know, I feel like I need to be sharper in this area. I'm asking you to help me. I'm not telling you how to do it, but you did something for Brother Hagin. You showed him something that helped him. I'm asking you to give me something. And I, you know what? When I prayed, I just believed I received it. I didn't hear a booming voice from heaven. I didn't know what it was going to be. I didn't, but I believed because I prayed according to the will of God. I felt like I could do it in my heart. I just believed it was real. And I remember sometime later, I don't remember how long later, I was standing in front of somebody. And as I was ministering to them, they were sick. As I was ministering to them, it's like my words, when I would say something, it's like my words would go through them. And this is like something I'd never experienced before. And I said it again, and it's like there was no, it was like there was something that was causing no substance in them to be able to hear my words. And I recognized it was supernatural. And just God didn't say a word to me. He didn't speak a sentence to me. I just knew in my heart, this is it. This is the devil. This is the devil. I'm dealing with the devil right here. And so I dealt with it according to it being demonic. And they got well. And so later on, this started happening with me when I would get in front of people. And I'd be talking. Sometimes it's with their eyes. Sometimes I'm talking, it's like I see through them. The Lord will help you. Ask the Lord to help you. We need to be effective. The Lord wants us to be able to discern. And this doesn't have to be like the gift of discerning of spirits. That's a whole nother realm. That's as the Holy Spirit. It comes in a moment. But the Lord can help you, make you sharper, distinguish things, know things, be sensitive. We need to be able to identify these things. I'll tell you one way to be able to get better at identifying them. You want to know what one way? Are you ready?
Yeah.
This will really help you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Get closer to the Lord. If you get closer to the Lord and you get closer to the Word and you get closer to the Spirit, who is the real deal, who is the truth, then when you come up against something, it's easier to detect, this is not right. This doesn't line up. Something about this doesn't feel like the Spirit of God. Something about this. Get closer to the Lord. That's one way that you can get sharper. Just do be aware of this pitfall. I'm going to close with this. People who love God like us and people who are what we call word people, we believe in the integrity of God's word, right? We also believe in faith. We believe that with our faith we can move mountains. We believe that with our faith we get prayers answered. We can cause miracles to happen. All that's true. I find sometimes that the people who really love God and are believers like us want the ways of God to prevail. Can we agree with that? I mean, we want the ways of God to prevail, and we want to see when we pray that it works, and we want to see, and we don't move off of that. But you have to be honest, and number one, when you're dealing with other people, there are things with other people that you cannot override. It is not going to always work out when it comes to other people.
Right.
You can't override. There's all kinds of things. We don't know what's in someone's heart. When someone can be saying all the right things and doing their best to believe, but in their heart, it's not there. There's nothing bad about them. It is what it is. We live in a world, it's a fallen world, there's sin, there's evil, there's darkness, there's stuff all around us all the time affecting all kinds of people. So we do the best that we can do, but we can't let it cause us something not working out with someone else. I prayed, I really believed God. I know that I believed God, but when it comes to them, that is not 100%.
Right.
It is not. Right. And if you allow yourself to get disappointed, if you allow yourself to get discouraged, you can allow yourself to get deceived. You can allow doubt to come in. Because of those things, it'll mess you up.
Word,
no matter what happens, we stay on the Word.
Amen.
God is not a man that he can lie.
Amen.
The Word is truth. It never fails. It always works. That's what I know is true. That's what I'm believing. Everything else, every other circumstance, every other situation falls under that truth. And I cannot be moved off of it.
Amen.
Because I find that, to be honest, that's where a lot of discouragement, disappointments, doubt, deception comes from dealing with other people. Listen, God loves them and God wants them well and God wants them to get in the kingdom of God. And God will work with you to try to work with them as long as he can work with them. The other thing is to remember that we aren't perfect. And sometimes we're not going to hit the mark exactly. But we have to be okay with that in that we don't move off of something with God. Instead, we say, you know what? I must have missed something. I must have missed it. That's okay. It's all right. It's all right. It's okay if we don't win every skirmish. So sometimes we might not win. But we have to recognize that nothing about God has changed. The truth hasn't changed. The ability for all things to be possible to me who believe has not changed just because I didn't win this. All right? So we have to get back on the truth and we have to go after it harder. You do know why John G. Lake had the healing ministry that he had? Do you know why he had it? Because he had multiples of family members that kept dying and dying. Not one, not two, not three. I mean, they kept dying and dying. And instead of him saying, this must not be true, I've been praying, this must not be true. God's healing power must not be real. It must not be. What? He didn't come up with excuses. He just said, you know what? The healing power of God is real, and I'm going after this. And so he went after it harder with the next one. And he went after it harder with the next one. And went after harder with the next one. Until you know what? He tapped into something. Amen. He tapped into something. And that's how it's going to have to be with us. If we're going to be effective soldiers, we're going to have to just say, you know what? I'm going after it with all I got. I'm not going to let any of these things of the devil, I'm not going to let deception come in. I'm not going to let distractions move me off the mark. I'm not going to let delays mess me up. I'm not going to think that it's okay to disobey God, put God on my timetable. No way. You better obey God. I'm not going to get disappointed. I'm not getting discouraged. I'm not slipping into depression. I won't allow it to be on me. And I'm not going to doubt at all. I'm just not going to do it because I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I have things to do. God is counting on you. I'm counting on you. Your neighbors are counting on you. Your brothers and sisters are counting on you. God has given us as his soldiers effective armory, effective weaponry, right? Come on. I mean, he wouldn't put us down here and tell us to go to, you know, overcome the devil, to put him under our feet, to win if we didn't have the ability to do that. He's given us everything that we need. We must believe that. Tonight we must settle it. That's it. I believe it. Once we believe it, then we can use our faith to use our weapons and go after. And just remember this, that the devil is under our feet. We are soldiers and we do have a fight. It's a fight of faith. But God has already won the battle. Hallelujah. I said God has already won the battle. We are already victorious. We are already more than conquerors. We are already overcomers. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope this has helped you. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, we're just going to keep at it. If we lose one, it doesn't mean we have to lose the next one. Come on, if you've lost one, it doesn't mean you have to lose the next one. We just keep going after it, and we again and again until we get more victories and more victories and more until firmly. Now I'm standing firmly in the victory of Christ, and nothing is moving me off of it. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.